Okay, I need to get the energy level up. That means you have to stand up. Stand up! Come on, it's not so hard. Got some kids in here. Come on, they need to stretch their legs. Turn to the person next to you. Say, Johnny's going to preach. And then say, it's going to be okay. All right, sit down. It's gonna be okay. It's not that bad. Hey, when I was a young man, this is probably when I was 25 years old. Wow, that was like 25 years ago. I was really struggling in my life. I was seeking after God. I wanted to be in ministry. I wanted to preach the gospel. But you know what? There are some things in my life that didn't quite measure up. Have you ever been in that spot where you're like, you know what? I know what's right to do. I know what I should be doing. I know the kind of life that I'm supposed to have. I know the standards of holiness that God calls me to. Yet when I live every day of my life, I'm not a good person. I'm dealing with stuff. I'm struggling with stuff. I'm making bad decisions, right? I'm not treating people right. I harbor bitterness in my heart. In my everyday living, and I'm trying to improve myself. You ever been there? You're just trying to make a little improvement on your life, right? And what I found is I reached this point where working on myself didn't work. And I was really seeking God because I knew what God called me to. I knew that he wanted me to preach the gospel. I knew that I was already involved in volunteering in youth ministry. But something in my life didn't measure up with what I knew that God wanted. And so what I did is I lived a mile away. The church was a mile away from where I worked. So I decided to fast, right? How many of you have ever fasted? Good job. It is not fun for me. I do not like fasting. But it was like I'm still working on myself, right? I'm like, I need to do this. I need to get my life. Maybe fasting is it. So I started a fast. And then I started on my lunch hour. I'd go to church. It was only a mile away from my work. And I would read the Bible, right? Because I knew if I stayed there, someone would have cookies, right? Have tacos. And, you know, I probably couldn't tell them no. So I would literally leave from where I worked, left the break room, went to the church, and I started reading. And I'll tell you what, after toiling with this issue of being a hypocrite, that's what I was. Finally, the Lord spoke to me. And I want to present to you today this life-changing concept. Okay, I'm not giving you a secret that you've never seen or that somehow Pastor Johnny has opened up a secret case and now we have the secret to all life. That's not what I'm giving you. I'm proclaiming the word of God to you, but that day it stuck with me and I understood. And I want to give that to you today. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your power. I thank you for your word, that where it's proclaimed, your power is proclaimed. We are not able to separate you from your word. Where your word is proclaimed, you are there. You are here this morning. Lord Jesus, I pray that those who are listening, that their minds would be changed, that they would get it maybe for the first time in their life. Lord, that you would change and just renew our lives in these few moments that we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. So I built a little something. Last week, I talked about how thinking right was a very important thing, right? And we understand the one of the comments that I made, and like I said, I took this from somebody. I took it from Pastor Ernie Jacobson, who took it from somebody else. But it's essentially this, that we are not a physical being having a spiritual experience. That's not what we are. We think we're physical. We're in this physical world where we drive, right, and where we live, right, and where we see stuff and where we play with our phone. Like, we think that's reality. And then we think we come to church or we read the Bible or we encounter somebody else And then all of a sudden we have this spiritual relationship. We have this spiritual experience. That's what we think, right? That's not the truth. The truth is, when you come to Jesus Christ, your eyes can see the reality of two different dimensions in this world. And the truth is that we're a spiritual being having a physical experience. Right? You follow me? I'm not going to preach it again. It's a foundation of where I'm going. We think that we're part of this world, but the truth is we're part of heaven's kingdom. When Jesus Christ comes in, right, and because of what he did on the cross, we're no longer part, and we understand that that physical world is secondary. What's primary is the spiritual world. We become alive. Our eyes are opened, right? The second foundation that I want that must be there, we talked about last week, is living under grace. We talked about through God's grace we're set free incrementally one day at a time. It's not, grace is not a one-time thing. You know, we look at what Jesus did on the cross, and this is the way I used to think about it. This is bad thinking. That's where the sermon came from. That when Jesus gave his life, that I became saved and I became perfect. I had this idea in my head that I had to be perfect because I gave my life to Jesus. I made perfection my judge, not my guide, right? I need to be perfect, and when I wasn't perfect, what happened? I judged myself, and I said, you know what? I'm not good enough. But grace, right, makes perfection your guide, not your judge. When Jesus came and paid the price on the cross, it wasn't just to set you free at that moment, right? Which he did. Didn't he set you free? He took all the bonds and the chains off of you. But the resurrection and what Jesus did was more than that. His grace covers our future sins. His grace sets us free one day at a time. I said that we are perfectly imperfect. I know that's kind of a lot to swallow, a lot of perfect in there, right? But pull this apart, we're perfectly imperfect. I'll give you two examples. I really want to drive this point home because it is the foundation. One is, I have a King Charles Spaniel miniature. It's about 14 pounds, right? How many of you ever met Holly? There's one. Okay, wait. Okay, good. I knew you did, but it was a kind of a test question. I wanted to gauge the intelligence of the room. We're doing okay. So Holly is a lover. She is not aggressive. She doesn't bark for the most part, right? She's just a very kind-hearted, loving dog. Holly likes to, as soon as I get home, she crawls up and, you know, I sit in my recliner. She rolls right up under my chin. Like, she knows that I absolutely adore her. She thinks she's a princess. If she could wear a tiara, she would wear it, right? She is just thebomb.com, right? That's my dog. Well, we had a little bit of a problem one time. Well, actually, it continues occasionally. I get home, walk in the living room. Guess what's on the floor? Bunch of garbage from the bathroom garbage. This is a problem. You ever come home to that? Yeah, we got a couple dog owners here, right? Very frustrating, right? And, you can really get upset about it. Well, we have another dog, Ruby, and so I never knew which one it was, right? Ruby's a little bigger dog, so I knew she could fit her head in that garbage can a little bit better than Holly, because Holly's kind of short, but I didn't really know. But once I figured it out, I came home, garbage on the floor, I'm scolding dogs. You know, what did you do? Who did this mess? Who made, you know, the first thing you come home, you got to pick up garbage all over the floor from the bathroom, right? And so I walk in this time, and there's Holly. She's got her head down, wagging her tail with garbage hanging out of her mouth. I just determined who the culprit was, right? So I did a little video. You know, I'm like, Holly, what did you do? And she's got her head down, right? And did the whole thing. I was mad at her, right? I'm like, you should not dig in that garbage. Like, she knows better. Somehow I think she's, like, smart or something. I don't know. And so I'm picking up the garbage, not that there's a ton, but it's enough to annoy me. And I'm upset, sit down in my thing, cross my hands, right? I'm upset. Holly jumps up in the chair right there. I'm like, what are you doing? You were digging through the garbage. You know you shouldn't do that. And Holly just lowers her head and wags her tail and keeps moving right up. She's going under my chin, right? And I'm like, Holly, I'm mad. I'm upset. Right under my chin. She didn't care, right? But that's the way God's grace is. See, I look at Holly and I love her. Even though she messes up, she digs in the garbage, she knows that I love her and I'm not going to be able to turn her away, right? And this is an example of how God's grace is, right? All we have to do is to come to him. I'm not going to turn Holly away because I love her, because she's perfect in my eyes, even though she's imperfect. Let me give you another example. That is of a baby, right? If you're a mom, a dad, grandparent, you see that baby, you hold it for the first time, is it perfect? Yes, right? Holding my kids, I got three kids. I had to stop and count just then because I lost my brain. I got three kids, and you hold them for the first time, and you're staring those cute little eyes, right? And you can barely breathe. You're just like, oh, my gosh, there's a real live person. Like, God trust me with a real live person. This is amazing, right? And you just stare in their eyes, and they're perfect, right? But the truth is, they're not perfect. Grandparents, hate to tell you, those kids are not perfect, right? I know, Russ. We'll talk about it later. Right? That little kid at some point, right, is going to go to the bathroom in its diaper. Right? That little kid is going to throw up all over you. That little kid is going to throw a tantrum because you are going to put away its Legos. Right? This child is going to be selfish, immature, dirty, filthy, perfect. Because you love them. You look at that little kid, even after they fill their diaper full and you wipe it off and you think, perfect. God's grace is the same way. He knows you're a mess. He knows you're going to do stuff in your diaper that's not good. Right? He knows that, you know, that you're in a process, that you're maturing, you're getting older. God's grace is the same way with us. He loves you. You're perfect, right? Living under God's grace is that confidence in knowing that we are perfectly imperfect. So when we look at, let's take a look at Ephesians 4, 22. First off, I'd like to thank John. I'm cutting down my sermon a little bit. And so he's following along great. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 through 24. It says, you were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. We're going to tear that apart really quick, to be made new in an attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Let's tear this apart a little bit. Living right is putting off your old self, your former way of life. Your former self, your old self, has deceitful desires. It's unholy, not righteous, and guilty of sin. Man, I lived there. When I know that God is moving in my life and I want to live a holy life, I have this thing. It's called the old self. It's dragging me down, right? I really want to do what's right, but the truth is this old self is always fighting on me. It's always tearing me and pulling me. So that's step one. We're going to tear it apart a little bit more. Then it says in these verses to put on our new self, right? A new citizenship, a new way of life, a new attitude in your mind, created to be like God, righteous and holy. hey, if you understood this, what I just preached and what I just read will set you free. The problem is, I didn't understand what I was reading. Because it's so different than what the way that I thought it was. See, I always thought, because this is the world that we live in, right? This is the real physical world. That the way you improve, then the way you make a change is you work hard. You work harder than anybody else. You make changes in your life. If you want to change the way that you look, you start eating differently, right? You start exercising. You work hard on what you got because you ain't getting another one, right? If there's something wrong with your car, you fix your car, right? You work on it. You make it better. This is what I thought. This was my whole experience in my life. And the reason I was fasting, because I was going to work harder than anybody else. The reason I was reading the Word of God every day is because I wanted to transform me so bad. But what I discovered is no matter how hard I tried to do the right thing, that I couldn't fix it on my own. It's almost like when I read these passages that God was asking me to do the impossible thing. You ever try to live a godly life? You ever try to make a change in your life and you just can't seem to do it? And then you turn back to God and say, God, this is impossible. How am I ever going to possibly do this? I just don't understand. I just don't know. And then you know what I did? I came to the conclusion that I wasn't good enough. That the problem wasn't God because it works for everybody else, that it was me. Here's the way Paul wrote in Romans 7, verses 15 through 18. You ready for this? This is the way I felt. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. As it is, it's no longer I myself who do this, but it is sin who lives in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is my sinful nature, my old self. That's the way I felt. But the good news is, in the next verse, and this is where I was reading and it set me free. Romans 7 continues on, what a wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? And then the bomb in my heart and my spirit goes off. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus delivers you. Jesus is the one that delivers us. See, I thought his work was complete on the cross when he saved me and I became a citizen of heaven. But the truth is, Jesus' work in your life does not stop at that moment. Jesus' work in your life is just beginning. How does this work? Well, last week I gave you a deliverance process that I'm pretty proud of. And that is confess your sins, repent, ask for forgiveness, and proclaim God's authority. I wish you were here last week, Russ. We would have laughed so hard at that. That's some of the best stuff I ever came up with. But here's the truth. Now, some of you aren't quite following me yet because you still have this idea that you need to work on yourself and get yourself better. Here's the truth. You need to trade in the old model and get the new model. This process of deliverance is how you do it. When I realized that no matter how hard I worked, I could not attain it. When I realized that all those things in my life that I'm trying to change, that I could not change. I was in an impossible situation that only Christ can deliver you from. See, when God comes and you're in an impossible situation, God knows it. You know what he does? He provides. He provided Jesus Christ for me. and he provides Jesus Christ for you. What I'm asking you to do, what I'm telling you and what I learned is we must remove the source of sin. We don't fight against sin. Jesus won the battle against sin. His blood covers it. But you know what the source of that sin is? Myself. How do you fight? How do you win a battle against yourself? You put off yourself. You put it away. How do you put yourself away? It's the only thing I have. There's one thing I know I have. It's me. How do you put me away? Right? How do you fight a battle against your when your biggest enemy is yourself? You admit it to God. You're not a good person. You are not good enough in yourself to overcome any obstacle when it comes to righteousness at all. You know what's inside of you? You have evil desires inside of you. You have things inside of you that are going to go contrary to God. Even though your spirit, which is alive, wants to honor God and wants to live a life that's worthy of Jesus' sacrifice, inside of each one of us is a sinful man. Okay, let's put it this way. When you get saved, you become a citizen of heaven, part of the redeemed, right? Exactly how long are you going to work on yourself to improve yourself, study the Word of God? Exactly how long is it going to take until this body is perfect? Never going to make it. This body is going to die. 100%. I'll take that bet. It's going to die. But God, because of our citizenship in heaven, God provided another way for perfection for us. He is going to give us a new body. Perfection is coming. When Jesus sets up his kingdom, you and I are going to be a part of it. And thank goodness we don't have the old body. We would mess it up. Look, you're not a good person, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If you're waiting for your goodness to grow up and you're going to bear fruit, guess what? You're in a failure situation. Lights are going off. Critical. Level 7. Catastrophic event. Right? That's what I was experiencing when I was trying to improve myself so that I would be worthy of God's calling. In my flesh, as I'm fasting, I can just see the buzzers going. Never happened. Your flesh is going to die. I still feel like some of you aren't quite grasping what I'm selling. You know why? Because it's discerned by the Spirit. This is a spiritual situation. You're like, oh, he's wrong, man. I can't work on myself. I can get better. No, you can't. Because inside of you is evil desires, and it's meant to be improved. No, put off. Put it off. How the heck do I put off myself? I told you there's a deliverance process. Confess, number one. Lord, I have an evil heart. The desires within me are ignoble. I am wretched. What a wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this? Right? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Repent. Ask for forgiveness. Lord, forgive me. And then the last thing, and this is the one that a lot of people missed last week, you must proclaim God's authority. I no longer live in my old self. I put on my new self and I proclaim that Jesus is Lord of my life. It's a deliverance process. Deliverance doesn't just happen at salvation. Deliverance happens throughout your life. You know what? This is a hard process. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to stand up and see her and say, hey, there's the magic pill. Just deny yourself, go through the deliverance process, and now you'll be holy. This is hard work. You ever try to deny yourself? Man, there are cookies in the... The cookies are gone. There's cookies in the back, right? I'm on a diet, I'm saying, and I'm walking by. Nobody's looking around. Pastor Johnny's stealthy. Grab a cookie. Don't look at me with those righteous eyes. You guys done the same thing. Come on, man. This is hard work. But you know what? We don't have the power within ourselves to do it. I have this incredible clip that John's going to show you about Corrie Ten Boom. Dial it up, John.
It was some time ago that I was in Berlin. And there came a man to me and said, "Ah, Mr. Boom, I am glad to see you. Don't you know me?" And suddenly I saw that man. That was one of the most cruel overseers, guards, in the concentration camp. And that man said, I'm now a Christian. I have found the Lord Jesus. I read my Bible and I know that there is forgiveness for all the sins of the whole world, also for my sins. I have forgiveness for the cruelties I have done. But then I have asked God grace for an opportunity that I could ask one of my very victims forgiveness. And Fräulein Ten Boom, once in me forgiven, will you forgive me? And I could not. When I was in the concentration camp, one of the most terrible things I had to go through was that they stripped us of all our clothing. And we had to stand naked. The first time was the worst. I said, "Betsy, I cannot bear this." And suddenly it was as if I saw Jesus at the cross. And the Bible tells, they took his garments, he hung there naked. And I knew he hung there for me, for my sins. And by my suffering, I understood a fraction of the suffering of Jesus Christ. And it made me so thankful that I could bear my suffering. I remembered the suffering of my dying sister through him. But when I experienced that I could not forgive, suddenly I knew I myself have no forgiveness. Do you know that Jesus has said that? When you do not forgive those who have sinned against you, my heavenly Father will not forgive you your sins. I knew, I'm not ready for Jesus coming because I have no forgiveness for my sins. But I was not able, I could not, I could only hate him. And then I took one of these beautiful texts, one of these boundless resources, Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. And I said, "Thank you, Jesus, that you have brought into my heart God's love through the Holy Spirit who is given to me. And thank you, Father, that your love is stronger than my hatred and unforgiveness." That same moment, I was free. And I could say, "Brother, give me your hand." And I shook hands with him. And it was as if I felt God's love stream through my arms. You never touch so the ocean of God's love as that you forgive your enemies. Can you forgive? No. I can't either. But he can.
Corrie Ten Boom is talking about forgiveness. And that is a part of our spiritual walk. But I'm talking to you today about whatever it is that you have shown and proven to yourself that you're not capable of doing. Corey didn't have within herself the ability to forgive that person. You don't have the ability within yourself to live a righteous life. I'm sorry. This is the truth that set me free. I can't rely on myself. I can't rely on the possibility and the strength within myself to overcome an obstacle, but I can rely on Christ. Put on your new self, the one where you proclaim Jesus is Lord. No matter what situation you're in this week, take him with you. Walk in the Spirit. The Spirit has power to overcome any circumstance, any evil in your heart, any bad desire in your heart. See, Christians, many times, the reason they lose is because they don't fight. They won't even fight anymore. They think, well, I'm just going to grab a quick cookie. Won't be that big of a deal, right? I'm not even going to fight it. I'm just going to give in to it. Let me tell you something. What Jesus did on the cross is more than adequate to overcome any situation in your life. What are you dealing with? Is it unforgiveness? Is it an addiction? What is it? What is that thing that you won't overcome, that you won't even look at, that you won't even try to overcome because you're just going to live with the pain? You're just going to live with it a little bit. I'm going to be a Christian and I'm going to hang on to my favorite sin and we're going to go for a walk every day. Get rid of it. Proclaim that Jesus has authority and walk in the Spirit every moment of your day. I'm not talking about you have to be legalistic and just go, oh, Lord, take this step. Lord, help me take this step. Right? If you can, great, man. I applaud you. Walk in the Spirit. But me, I can't do it that way. I'm like, Lord, lead me and guide me, and here I go. Right? Walking in the Spirit, man, you need to do it. It's the only way to overcome. It's the only way to have victorious life is walking dead. You put your old self aside. You can't fix it up. You can't make it good enough. You put on your new self. You proclaim Jesus is Lord, and you walk in the Spirit. The last slide that I have. Well, no, we're going to do Romans 8:11. Romans 8:11 says this, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Put on the newness of the Spirit. Put on the new self. When you don't have enough strength, when you know you're going to fail, take off the old one, put on the new one. Just like Corey did, I can't forgive them. I can't do this. Lord Jesus, you're going to help. Send me your power. Luke 9:23 says this, then he said to them, whoever wants to be my disciple must take up their cross daily and follow me. Does this sound like a rosy life to you? This is a walk of death. This is putting away your evil desires. And maybe I put the bar too high. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, walking in victory is not something that's a secret. It's laid right out in the proclamation of God's word. Jesus did it all. And if you want a holy life, it's only through Jesus Christ and his power and his Spirit. Walk in it. You're not a good person. But Johnny, I am a good person. No, you're not. Last slide, living right. Sacrificial living is the only way we're called to live. It denies your feelings, it denies your desires, wants, and your very nature. You have to deny it. Deny it. Sacrificial living is impossible on your own strength. I don't know. This is a new idea. You're saying strength through weakness. You're saying admitting that I can't do something, but I think I can. And then letting God do it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. A submitted sacrificial life. You can do it. You have the power. You have access to what Jesus did on the cross, and he will not leave you. Our fear, I think our fear is many times is that those desires and wants and our very nature is going to overcome. We fear that those things in our life aren't going to be taken away because we don't feel like they're going to be taken away, right? Like maybe I didn't convince you enough. Maybe the Word of God didn't convince you enough that it's true that you need to just put this stuff away and make Jesus Lord. Like it's got to be harder than that. Right? That's what I thought. I got to keep working on myself. But every time that I find that I'm deficient, then I ask Jesus for help. This is walking in the Spirit. Will you stand with me today? Today is not the day that we have the moment at the altar. We have plenty of moments at the altar. We have times when we cry, when we offer up things, when we struggle with things and we place them on the altar. But today is not that day. Today is the reality of a new world. Today is the reality of a new kingdom. Today is the reality that Jesus Christ is alive inside of us. We've forgotten this little thing. We must live a sacrifice life as Jesus set the way. Father God, I pray that this idea, this inspiration by your Holy Spirit that you brought to me so many years ago would rest on every person in this place. That you would begin, Lord, a new work in them. That you would spark a fire of change. Lord, you have a dream for us. You have a plan, a purpose for each and every one of us. That we all spread your light across this world. That we all speak your word. That people would talk about our church and say, oh, that church, they think they're all pastors. They think they're all full-time ministers. Lord, that's what we cry for. Lord, I pray that that anointing would go out. Lord, use us. Use them. Lord, I thank you for your power. I thank you for your word. Lord, destroy our bad thinking. And renew us, Lord. We proclaim you Lord of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want you guys to know that you're loved. This church is not a church that we just let people float along or disappear. You're loved. I want you to know that God is doing amazing things in our midst. We're going to make a difference in our community, in our world. We have things to do. We got to reach this world, right, Randy? That's our calling, man. And I want you to know that you're blessed. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name a blessing over everyone who's here. Lord, bless them as they go. Bless them as they come home. Bless their finances. Bless their family. I pray for and give them a blessing of good health. Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom as we live in this world. I thank you for the covenant that we have through Jesus Christ. That we are ambassadors, citizens of a new kingdom. Lord, help us to live that way. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming today. If you're a guest, make sure you get your gift that we have our guest services table. Have a great Memorial Day.